and the brave ones are able to get out in dead weather and before Yontid, Baruch Hashem, to start a new year. Talking about tzaddikim, talking about their Torahs, it's a schus for us. And I haven't been downstairs in a long time. I was downstairs today, and I didn't realize that Baruch Hashem, the sets are all being done. And over all the years, that it's been really very, very special to feel, not just to hear Torahs on Shabbos. I'm always mentioning different tzaddikim, but once you know a little bit about the life, even though as I always begin, we're not discussing here Abraham Lincoln and Louis Pasteur, although they were fine people, we're not talking about a biography, because we're dealing with human beings who are barely touching the ground. And since we're grounded, since we're stuck here, it's very hard for us except to look at the things that we have in the Torah, the Kabbalists that we have, that other tzaddikim saw and other Jews that saw. There's a wealth of material when it comes to Rabbi Rabbuna from Peshischa. The tzaddik we're going to begin talking about. In general, the last few times I've been trying to focus on Polish Hasidus, on the Polish Hasidus. So we have within Polish Hasidus that amazing world of the Chayzer from Lublin and how it came out to such different Pshitas within Hasidus. How they were born from the same world of the Baal Shem Tov and the Tzir of Lublin and the Rabbi Elimelech, how it came out. We were Rav Leibla Eger. Last year we were talking about Rav Leibla. And Peshischa, the Rabbi Rabbunim from Peshischa, really it's through the Rabbi Rabbunim that the light of the Tzir of Lublin entered into that world of Ger and Kotsk, Radzin, Ishbitz, and Alexander. It was all through the Rebbe Rabbuna from Peshischa. So let's begin to talk a little bit by way of Hakdama, by way of introduction. There's a famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov that I'm sure that you're familiar with. The Baal Shem Tov, I guess it's raining, right? Wow. I didn't realize. Wow. Before Mincha, that the Baal Shem Tov asked regarding the famous Maim HaChazal in Pirkei Avos in the sixth parak. V'chol yoyim v'yoyim bas kol yoytzeis mihar chorev v'machrezes v'omeres. Every single day, there's a voice that's heard from Har Chorev. It's coming from Har Sinai. A voice that originates in Shemaim, in heaven, and travels by way of Har Sinai, and then is heard by great people. So it says in the Mishnah, "B'chol yom v'yom baskal yotzeis mehar chorev umachrezes ve'omeres oil," and it says, "Oila hem librios me'albona shel Torah." Oy vey to the Jews because of the humiliation of Torah, me'albona shel Torah. That the Torah is being ignored. It's not being observed properly. It's not being studied properly. So the Baal Shem Tov asked, in the terminology of learning, Mimanavshach. Mimanavshach means, either way you look at it, it's hard to understand. If the purpose of this voice that's coming from Shemayim is to awaken the hearts of the Jewish people to come back to Hashem, if that's the purpose, to awaken our hearts, then everybody should hear it. Then every Jew should have access to that voice. If that's the purpose, to awaken our hearts, then we should hear it. And if it's impossible for human beings, if it's impossible for human beings to hear the voice, then why do we need it? Then what's the point of the Baskol? What's the point of the voice? So either way, if we're supposed to hear it, well, we ain't hearing it. And if we're not supposed to hear it, then what's the point of the sound? So the Baal Shem Tov has his derech, his way. Which is really, the Rebbe Bunim explains the Derech of Baal Shem Tov, the way of the Baal Shem Tov, by means of a marshal. And it's a famous marshal, And I decided I would like to begin with this mashal, the way I understand it, the Rebbe Abunim came to the world to help us in this matter. The Rebbe Abunim said the following. This could be compared, this could be understood. There's a certain man that was going on a business trip, and he took his son with him on the business trip. And they had to pass through a forest. And in the middle of the forest, the boy began to cry because he wanted very much to get down, to get off the wagon for an hour or two to be able to go and gather delicious things there. There were berries and fruits, and he was fascinated. And the little boy wanted to get off the wagon. So his father told him, as it's in the mashal, the father said, "Bnei Ahuvi, my beloved son, in tikkunis la'ovi hayar," the Rebbe Abunim said that if you go into the thickness of the forest, then it's the colors, it'll be very easy to get lost. You'll get easily lost. La'isucha la'chapseini, and then you won't be able to find me if you go in. And not only that, and also we have to move. We have to get going. I'm on an important business trip and I can't spend the whole day here. I have to get moving. So there are two things. One is you're not going to find me. And the second is that it's time to move. So the boy answered and he said, "Abba ani elech lulkait v'yar." He said, "Father, I will go. Let me go. I'm going to go into the forest and start gathering some of these berries and delicious things." Va'ata avi tisa la'at la'at. And he said, "Father, you move ahead, but go slowly, just very, very slowly. Inch ahead." Umidei, all my kids are screaming. Umidei pam bepam, ekra elecha. And from time to time, "Midei pam bepam ekra lecha," I will scream out, "Abba, papi, I'll give a try." I'll scream out from time to time. "V'kashetanali v'eshmes kolcha," and you will hear me screaming out, "Abba," you'll hear me, and then what? "And v'kach eida eifatanim," and you'll call back, "I'm here," and then I will know. Then he says, "Then I will know eifatanim," so where you could be found. "V'eskaret pamelech," and then when I'm in the forest, you'll be on the path. I'll be in the forest. I'll scream out, "Abba," right? I'll scream out, "Abba," and then you'll say, "Yes, I'm here," and I'll go alongside in the forest and keep up with you. I'll keep up with you, and I'll know that I'm not far away. I'm moving ahead at your pace. So I won't make any mistakes. This is the way it's brought down in the Svarim. Of course, the Rebbe Abunim, all the tzaddikim said, but this is the way it's in the Seif, in the Svarim. So after I'm finished filling my basket with the berries and fruits and whatever, then I will come to you, I will return to you, and we'll travel together. But Lamaisa, what happened? We know what happened. Lamaisa, what happened was that the child, the boy, went out to collect berries, and he became completely preoccupied because the berries were so delicious, and it was so much fun, and it was so interesting. And in the meantime, the father is moving forward. The boy was supposed to scream and call out, but he was too preoccupied with his collecting. And finally, says the father didn't hear the child, and the father thought to scream out to him, to the boy, to his son, whatever, Moishi is screaming out. And Bini Bini Heichanata. And when the Rebbe Abunim said this, he started to cry. "Bini Bini, my son, Heichanata, where are you, my child?" But the son couldn't hear. And so he was, Rabbi Bunim said, he was screaming for the entire day and throughout all the years of Galus. "Bini, bini, heichan ata," my son, where are you? So the Rabbi Bunim said that the boy, when he realized when he realized that he had lost track of time, and that he didn't live up to what he had told his father he would be doing. He didn't call out father when he realized this. So he says that, and he saw that he was off the path. He says that the only choice that the child has at this point is to try to turn his ear and to listen for the possible faint, even the faintest cry of his father, to try to hear. Because he was screaming and he couldn't, he's a little boy. So now he's trying to hear, maybe his father is screaming in a louder voice. Pimchas v'sholom, layata oiznoi, the Rebbe said, the Rebbe Abunim, that if God forbid, he doesn't try to listen to the voice of his father, the loyelech acher hakol, and to follow his father's voice, Azai yochel litois ma'ai. And God forbid he could get completely fablundered, lost. V'yelech chas v'sholom le'ibud. And he could possibly be lost until he would fully dies. Could be completely lost. As the Rebbe Abunim understood that this is the story of our relationship with Hashem. That Hashem brought us into the world and we have something that we have to do. And we have a Derech HaMelech, we have a path that we have to follow. And we have to go, and it's taking us to Yerushalayim. But we're very, very fascinated by this world. We're very interested in the world. And even though we have things to do in this world, we become preoccupied collecting berries, whatever it is that you happen to be collecting. But you become distracted with the world. The agreement was that I'm a Yid, I'm a Jew, and I'm going to call out to you, Hashem. I'm going to call out to you. And as long as I'm davening, as long as I'm learning, as long as I'm calling out to you, I will recognize, you'll hear me, and you'll answer me, and you'll respond, Bini, my child. But what happened is that because we got so distracted and preoccupied in this world, and we became so fablundered, that we stopped calling out Abba, we stopped calling out Tati, we stopped speaking to him, and then Kivyochel Hashem said at the beginning, Hashem says, listen, we have to move, we have to go towards Yerushalayim, we have to keep going. But what happens is that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is traveling, and his child, Hashem says, Bini, Bini, Heichan Ata, what happened to you? Where are you, my child? So the Rebbe Bunim said, what's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is that a Jew listens. Listening means, when the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that we began with, right? The Baal Shem Tov's question, that every single day there's a voice that's going out from Har Sinai. Right? And Hashem is crying and he's saying, the Torah is being neglected, it's being ignored. Shuva banim shavav, and return to me, my wayward children, my mischievous children. Bini, bini, heichan ata. So the question was, what's the point of Hashem calling out? We don't hear it. If Hashem wanted us to hear, we would all hear it, we would return to him. We don't hear it. And if the point is for us not to hear it, then why does Hashem bother calling out? So what the Rebbe Abunim is explaining is that a Jew can hear it. You can hear it. But you have to stop playing around. You have to stop collecting your berries. You have to listen. You have to focus. You have to try. And if you're Mata Oizen, he says, there is a Baskol. That Baskol is not, in our times, you might not hear that the way that there were Tzaddikim and the Gemara that heard it, but we hear it in a different way. But the Baal Shem Tov said, hear Hurei Tshuva. When your heart is giving a kretch to be a better Jew, that means you feel it, that means that you're hearing the voice of Hashem. In other words, Hashem is constantly calling out every day. That's what it says. The lashon there is the b'chol yom v'yom. B'chol yom v'yom basel yaitse. Every single day. And Pashtus is all of the time. All the time. But if the person gets so lost that he doesn't even go and say, try to hear his father, to hear the father screaming, b'ni b'ni heichan ata, so he got to be, he loses Yiddishkeit altogether. But, the one who wants to listen, now how that happens to the person, why would a person want to listen? Because sof kol sof, how many berries can a person collect? Until you get sick and tired, until you get fed up with the craziness of this world. And how many Jews that you and I have seen, that are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, and someone starts to listen. I told you in the shul, we have that a relative of mine, who gave all the money for the farm upstairs, I gave the money. We had a little member Hachnasa Sefer Torah. You remember? You went to, we had Hachnasa Sefer Torah here. Have you here then? We had. Yeah, but you remember she gave this farm. Michal, you probably were here. Thanks. So, this woman was a woman that was very advanced in years. She came from a very, very kosher family. It's my father's cousin. Very kosher. She was married to, she was in her first marriage, she was married to a very, very, very famous tzaddik, which we're not supposed to announce, because they asked us not to. She was married to a very famous tzaddik. She found him to be too religious. She said, she really wasn't into it. She was from a very illustrious family, but she herself was not really into it. But in those days, it wasn't really, nobody asked her what she believed in. You know, before that, before the shidduch. She just, they took her under the chuppah. And my father said, she was saying, he's a very nice and kind person, my husband, but all he wants to do is to daven and to learn. He doesn't want to go for walks. You know, he was like he's a real tzaddik. She didn't know what to do with him. So they had a very nice separation and divorce, and it was kept very quiet and so on. The kids, she came here to America. She when she came to America before the Milchama, she came before the Milchama, and she became completely non-observant. I don't, in the house, I think she did bring tarfas. But outside, she would go to the restaurant, she ate treif. And my father, you know, all the years, and my father is my father's cousin, knew the father, the tzaddikim. And the only relative, really, my father was the only one that stayed with her all the years. That my mother and father kept in touch, my father, and my mother would bring over that she should eat food that my mother made, she shouldn't go to eat tarfas after her second husband died many years ago. And in the later years, when the woman was very, very old, she started coming back. She started coming back. She did shuva. And when I saw this happening, you know, all the chazals are here. Like, how could a person, she was already like 75 years, she's not doing this stuff. 75 years. My mother took the candles she should light. She wasn't lighting Shabbos candles. Anything. And then when she was preparing to leave the world, she divided her money up. She had a sizable estate. We were there for some of it. It should only go to Torahdik places. To Eilech Yidden. Shouldn't go to anything that's not Eilech, that's not religious. So who knows, a Jew, a Yid, you know, a person can hear. Mamish to the last minute, it's possible to hear. That the Jews should start to hear. This is a marshal from the Rebbe Unim. The Rebbe Abdov Ber, Rebbe Rishol from Biala. You heard of the Biala Rebbes, the Biala Tzadikim from Yira Kaddish, Biala. So Rebbe Rishol from Biala, he once said to the Chassidim the following. Something he said, Dovah Shehula Dairis, something that is going to be forever, when something has the ability to be forever, Barishal said, even if it's done by one Jew, but it's everlasting, it goes on beyond his life, it keeps on going, he says, Nikra Shalmei Tzibur, it is considered to be an offering, the work of the entire Jewish people. Shalmei Tzibur, like a carbon that is from the entire Tzibur, the entire community. However, something that is short-lived, something that only lasts for a short time, even if the whole Welt is doing it, the whole world is doing it, but it doesn't last. Nikra Shalmei Yochid, it's called an individual's offering. It was for a moment. It had its moment. Even though a million people might have been doing it. Even though a million people were doing it. It's called a temporary individual kind of a thing. So Rabbi Rishol Biala said, when you have a tzaddik, a Rebbe, who arises in a generation, Umanahel Adas Chasidim, and he has a group of Chasidim, he establishes a smedrish, he establishes a following of Chasidis, Sarach Lirois, Ulehespal, this Rebbe, this Tzaddik, has to daven and see to it. Sheyedarkov ahan hagoso shalmei tzibur l'dayus. That he establishes a path that'll be forever. This Tzaddik, that when he gathers together his chassidim, and he creates a bismedrash, that it should be a chassidus, it should be an avoid, it should be a path that will go till Mashiach. It should be shalmei tzibur l'dayus. That should be the part of the Jewish people forever. And not like those tzaddikim, that they might be unbelievable people, fantastic people, but their influence was only what? For that generation, for that brief period of time, and after that, his path could no longer continue. It didn't have the strength to go weiter, to go beyond his life. And then he ended, reverently said, HaRebi Rebunim, how the chassidim call him, the Rebbe Rebunim. His name is Rabbi Simcha Bunim, but the Rabbi Rebunim, HaRebi Rebunim also shalmi tzibul adoris ad bias goel hamashiach. That the Rabbi Rebunim, he brought this offering of shalmi tzibur for the entire Jewish people ad bias goel hamashiach till the very end of time, till the coming of Mashiach. And we have to understand that. Because when this tzaddik said such a thing, it wasn't stopped. He didn't say things in such a way. In general, Rabbi Nachum Breslover, it's brought the name of Rabbi Nachum Breslover and Chaim Aran, Tafayin Tess and Chaim Aran, which is a biography, an early biography of Rabbi Nachum. Al Yidei Shemesaprim Maisiyas Mitzadikim, that by telling stories about tzaddikim, if you talk about the lives of tzaddikim and tell stories, and we praise the greatness, and we speak about the greatness of tzaddikim, Rabbi Nachman says that you can sweeten any judgment that is upon you or your family or the Jewish people. You could bring a chesed instead of din, which you could all use. The nimshach ha-chesed. The zehu, and that's the meaning of what we say, the pasuk that in Tehillim that we say in benching. Magdil Yeshuos Malko. Listen. Magdil Yeshuos Malko, which means to, Magdil from the word Gadol, which means Magdil to speak and say great and wondrous things about the salvations of the king. So he says, Man Malchei Rabban, and the Gemara says, who are the kings in this world? The tzaddikim, man malchei rabbanim. Tzaddikim are the kings, are the true kings. The tzaddikim. Haynu mashem esaper magdil haneflos magdil Yeshua is malko. Rabbi Nachman said that if you praise the tzaddikim and tell stories about the tzaddikim, magdil Yeshua is malko. He says, v'Yeshua shel tzaddikim, and you speak about the Yeshua, the wondrous and miraculous things that Hashem brought into this world through the tzaddikim, shnekor melachim aydezer, or you say chesed l'mashicha. Right, Hashem will do kindness for His anointed one. So Rabbi Nachman said l'mashicha is the same letters as the word mashicha, which means the one who told the story. The word sicha means a story, a conversation. So let's put it together. Magdal Yeshua is Malkai, the one who tells great and wondrous stories that he heard about tzaddikim, who are called the kings. What will happen as a result of that? Oyseh chesed Hashem will show kindness l'mishicho, for the sin, which means for the one who told the story. It will be chesed and loving kindness. By telling the story of a tzaddik, you bring chesed into your life, you bring chesedim from Shemayim, and there's a Kabbalah by certain tzaddikim davke, everybody knows that Rabbi Yitzchak Baditshevich, just by saying Rabbi Yitzchak and Sarah Sasha, the Baruch Shalom's heart becomes mamish and melts when we say Reb Levi Yitzchak Baditshevich's name. But when you tell over Meisim, we have to understand, especially now that we're coming into the Yemei Hadin. A week from tonight is, I think, yeah, Monday night. Monday night is Yemei Hadin. So Rosh Hashanah is coming. And in general, you know that we've been stuck in a pretty serious din for this entire year. Gavin the Matzev and Eretz Yisrael, what's been going on. There are dinim that are very strong, that have been very strong this past year. So we all have to realize that when we embark upon a new journey to talk about, to tell stories about another tzaddik and to learn his Torahs, that it's not just, we're not God forbid, and I always say this, but it's not some biographical sketch or something academic, and I don't say it that way, and that's not my intention, and it's difficult, because it's not so exciting like learning the Torahs, but when you say over stories from a tzaddik, imam tig dinim, your mom is bringing chesed into the world, and you tell your children stories of tzaddikim, not only tell me about Shem Tov, tell them about Rashi and the Rambam. When you say over stories of tzaddikim, especially Matzei Shabbos, especially the Baal Shem Tov, right? You bring all kinds of good things into your lives, into your family's life, into the life of the family, into Chaveirim, to the Jewish people. The teachings are unquestionably also, but in particular, Rabbi Nachman is talking about telling stories. There's no question that the Torah in general is being, but just to tell stories of tzaddikim, and the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer said a similar thing as well, that he said to the Chassam Sofer, to his son, that Sipuri Tzaddikim, he used to tell a lot of stories of the Chassam Sofer. In Yeshiva, before he would learn, he would tell over on Shabbos different times, Chassam Sofer said, Ma'is, even though he wasn't a Chassidish, he told over Ma'is of Tzaddikim. His Rebbe was at Talmud and Talmud, one of the students of Mr. Chamakim. Chassam Sofer had two rebellion, Rav Nosson Adler, who was a big Mekubal, and the other Rebbe was the Haflor, Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, who was one of the foremost disciples of Mizvich Amag. He was a Rav in Frankfurt. Now, the person we're going to talk about, the beginning of this man, is very, very far from our tree. So like all the tzaddikim, is far from our grasp, from our understanding, from our comprehension. And even though a lot has been written, all that we have is just revealing a tiny little bit, is Megalat Tefach and Mechasa Tefachayim. Much more is hidden. This was a Jew, like all the tzaddikim we spoke about, of Tzaddik and others, Kol Raz lay on this way. There wasn't a secret of Torah that was hidden to him. There wasn't a secret that was hidden. On the one hand, and this is a fascinating different twist in the life of Rebbe Abunim, which we do not have by any of the other early tzaddikim. And really don't have bechlal. I mean, maybe until our generation, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, one could say that there is a similar biographical episode. That the Rebbe Abunim, before he became Rebbe, the Rebbe Abunim was until he was 47 years old, Rebbe Abunim was a businessman. He was first involved in the lumber business, working and managing the business of the famous tzaddikas Temril. Tumrul, there was a, we'll talk more about her. He was managing really the businesses of this, there was this tzaddikas, who was a multimillionaire. She used to support all the Hasidic courts in Poland. And he was managing her businesses. And then it's just for reasons that are not clear, we'll talk a little bit about some of the ideas that have been suggested. The Rebbe Abunim became a pharmacist. He was fluent in Latin, he was fluent in German, in Polish. He became a pharmacist. We have very interesting stories from that time. And throughout the years, when later on he was a Rebbe, he would use his knowledge of chemistry to explain different things in Torah. This ultimately would cause him a great deal of tzaras. We'll see later on. The Tzaddikim of Galicia did not look highly upon that part of his life. That he was also known on visits that he will talk in great detail about this, that when he was traveling as a businessman, the Rebbe Abunim had befriended many, many non-religious people. It's known, and he himself said publicly, that he would sit and play cards with them. He would play cards, and we have stories from those days. Jews, many, many Jews did tshuva from the card games that Rebbe Abunim played. And Rebbe Abunim said, "What do you have?" So he said, "I have three kings." And Rebbe Abunim was taught to cry. How could a Jew have three kings? It's not possible. A Jew only has one king, and he was taught to cry. And he would take that guy outside, and they would walk around. Many interesting things happened, but nevertheless, in Galicia, that didn't go over well. But here we have a person who, until the age of 47, was completely hidden, and was in the business world, and then afterwards became safe to say that the biggest Rebbe, the Rebbe of all the Rebbes in Poland, that school of Pshiska, from the Talmidim of the Yid HaKadosh. We ended last Zman, before the summer, talking about the Holy Jew of Pshiska. The Rebbe Abunim was the biggest of the students of the Yid HaKadosh. That's why I want to go in this order. The greatest student of the Yid HaKadosh was the Rebbe Abunim. And how did this happen, this transformation? Or was it, maybe it wasn't a transformation. Maybe nothing changed. So we have to talk about that. The Chiddush HaHarim, who was one of his closest students, was one of the Rebbe Abunim's closest students. The Chiddush HaHarim, you all heard, was the first Ger Rebbe. Rebbe Chamaya, Rebbe Yitzchak Meir from Ger. So the first Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush HaHarim, said about the Rebbe Abunim, Ad HaRebbe Abunim Hayu Kol Perush HaChsidus Al HaBal Shem. Until my Rebbe, the Rebbe Abunim, all of the Svarim, all the Chassidus Svarim were to explain the Baal Shem Tov's teachings. La'achar HaRebbe Abunim, but from the time of my Rebbe, the Rebbe Abunim and on, Kol Perush HaChsidus Yualav Va'al Tayraisa. All of the future Chassidish commentaries are going to be to explain the teachings of the Rebbe Rebun. I don't think Chabad would agree with that, right? But certainly a vast number of Chassidim, with the exception probably of Chabad and Brestov, would agree with that. That the largest schools and representatives of Chassidus that would continue in the world would be from his Talmidim. Unfortunately, they were the ones who suffered the greatest loss in the Holocaust. Without going into details, since this Chassidus was completely in Poland, really there were hardly any of them in Hungary or elsewhere. So Hitler, Yimach Shemo, did a very thorough job with that world of Pshiska. Rizin or Radzin? Radzin. So Radzin is Ishbitz, and the Ishbitzer was by the Rebbe Abunim Pshis. Yeah, it's Pshis, Kotsk, Radzin. Now this is in Hungary, and in Hungary and Galicia. So there you had the Divrei Chaim, you had Sanz Rapshitz, right? But there were more survivors, and from the Hungarian Chassidim, Satmar Siget. I mean, we know that how many were killed in the concentration camps, but as you know, the Holocaust came to Hungary later. So those who survived the war, the percentage of Hungarian Hasidim that survived was much, much, much greater than the Polish Hasidim. And that's part of the miracle of the revival of Ger in Eretz Yisrael, which is really amazing, which is the continuation of this derech, of this way. And that was really that in Poland, Alexander and Ger, those are Malchus. These were kingdoms that had hundreds of thousands of followers. Hundreds of thousands of followers that were killed. We're talking about mid-19th century to late 19th century, that period. As far as the Rebbe's life is concerned, there are stories that we have, stories that he himself told. We know that he was, as I mentioned, he was fluent in many languages. He was also a Baki Nifla, completely fluent in all Chochmas, in science, in math, in all Chochmas, philosophy, in all Chochmas. He was a complete and total, he had complete control over all Chochmas. Let me just in the most complete biography, there is a wonderful biography that was published a few years ago. Until this was done, this is a work that was done by actually a descendant by the name of Yehuda Menachem Boim. He did everybody a tremendous favor with this sefer because until this was written, we had to go to 20 different Svarim. There's nothing new here, but it was in 20 different places and try to dig up and find in the middle of things about the Rebbe Abunim. So he gathered together the information really into one sefer, And in doing so, he's done us a tremendous taiva. Let me read to you a paragraph that was written by somebody who actually saw the Rebbe Bruno. This is a clearishan. This is first-hand report of something from the Rebbe Bruno. And then I think that we'll be able to begin to go through some of the pratim, some of the details that we know about the Rebbe's life. This tzaddik was, his name was Rabbi Elazar Poltiska from Warsaw, from Varsha. And he's one of the closest disciples of the Rebbe Abuna. So in his Sefer, he wrote the following. He said that at the end of the Rebbe Abunim's life, towards the end of his life, the Rebbe Abunim came to visit Warsaw. And this Rebbe Elazar came to see him in the hotel. And he says the following. V'hini achre kama dakos. He went and he was sitting with the Rebbe Abunim. And the Rebbe Abunim was very weak. He was lying on a couch. Hofach ha-Rebbe Abunim schusi ha-genilim es panav ha-kadoshim al-hakir. He says that my holy Rebbe turned, he was on the couch, and he turned around to face the wall. V'nirdom ma'at erach ra-erach Reva Shah Vayikats, and the Rebbe fell asleep for around 15 minutes and then he woke up. Vani, this is right from the safe of the person who was there. He says, myself, he says, Nisharti, he says, I stayed there, Lashevis Ayado, Kiloya Zemimidis Erheris, Lokum Lalachas, Mish God of a Kaddish, Vinasiya Lukimka Zablila Kalman Pray to Shalom. I didn't know when he was going to wake up. For all he knew, he was going to sleep for another few hours. But he said, it's not Derheris. That when a holy person falls asleep, that I should walk away without saying goodbye, that I should without giving shalom, to part from him. So he says, I sat there. The kasher hikits veroosi adayin yoshev amakomi. The Rebbe Abunim, when he woke up and he saw me sitting there, omli b'zelosh. He said, this is what he said, translated from the Yiddish, of course. This is what he said. Elozer, da, you should know. That the time is going to come after many, many years that you'll see that there will be the fulfillment of the pasuk of in the third parak of Yeshaya in Yeshaya. Now, the third parak in Yeshaya begins with this. It's very hard. This is what the Rebbe said over the pasuk. Listen, and then you'll see how he interpreted the pasuk. Kihine ha'odon Hashem tzvakos. Behold, the Master Hashem. Meisir mi Yerushalayim umi Yehuda, Hashem will take away, will remove from Yerushalayim and from Yehuda, mash'ein umash'eina. Hashem will remove help and support from Yerushalayim. Kol mish'an lechem v'chol mish'an mayim. Hashem will take away parnasa from Yerushalayim. The support mish'an lechem v'chol mish'an mayim. The support, meaning of bread and of water. Gibor v'ish milchama. Hashem will take away the heroic ones, the ones who are brave, v'ish milchama, and he'll take away the courageous warriors. Shofet v'novi. He'll take away all judges, he'll take away all prophets. V'koseim v'zokein. And all who are under the elders who knew wisdom, who know wisdom. Sar Chamishim, Hashem will take away the captains of the 50, meaning leaders of the Jewish people, who will be taken from Yerushalayim. From the Suponim, the respectable, all respectable people will be taken. The Yoetz, the Chacham, Charoshim, the Novin Lochash, and the advisors, the advisor, teacher of the wise, the Novin Lochash, and master of mysteries. All of this is going to be taken away from Yerushalayim at the end of time. The Novi is saying, the Novi Shayahu. V'nasati na'arim sarayim. You imagine? Hashem says, now I will take fools and make them the masters. Because most of them are housed in one building during the typical day in Yerushalayim. V'nasati na'orim sareham, I'll take these fools, and the fools, these na'orim, these young, like these young fools, they're going to become the masters over the chachamim, the nevinim, they're going to become the masters. V'sa'alulim yimshalu bav, and makers will rule over the old people and the wise. V'nigash ha'am ish b'ish v'ish b're'ehu. And people will be oppressed, and one will oppress the other, will offend and hurt and oppress the other. Yirhavu ha'nar b'zoke. The young will rule over the old. V'hanikla b'nichbad. And the base and low person will rule over the nichbad, the respectable person. Ki yispos ish v'achiv beis aviv. At that time, the Rebbe Bunim is saying this pasuk, he's just saying this straight, the pasuk in the beginning of the third parak of Yeshayahu. Take a look there when you come home. The beginning of the third parak. So the pasuk says, and at that time, when that time will come, it's just been described, ki yispos ish v'achiv, when a man will grab his relative, a man will take hold of his brother, of his relative, base of it from his father's house, and he will say to him, Simla lecha, you have clothing, you have a garment, you have a simla, I mean a coat, you have a robe, you have something. Simla lecha, kotsin tielonu. Kotsin means be a benefactor to me, I mean help, there's such poverty, that a man's gonna go to his cousin, to his brother, to his uncle, to his mishpacha, and is going to grab him by the coat and say, you have a coat. Help me. I don't have anything. I need your help. V'hamachshela hazos tachas yodcha. And let this obstacle, meaning of poverty, be under the control of your hand. Meaning, and you can do something about it. Help me. Help. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says this pasuk to this chassid of his, Rebbe Lozer. And then the Rebbe said the following. And I'm just reading what's written in the sefer. Da. He said, you should know, Lozer. Kishiyagiu achris hayom mahein. That when it comes to the end of days, to the end of that time that's described, yeidu hakol sheyovoi mashiach tzekein. And everybody will know that Mashiach will come. I'm telling you now that in those days, those last minutes before Mashiach comes, v'yikanu kulam es hachasidim, and then everybody in the world will be jealous, he says, of the chasidim. Hamistoifefim b'tzel tzadikei zmanam be'esahi. Who are able to be in the presence, in the shadow of the tzaddikim, of the rabbis, that time. And they'll be jealous of the old man who's able to be by the tzaddik of the generation. And that all people will flock to that old man who was zeichet to hear the teachings of the tzaddik. Kein yebederes achronim, he says, that's what's going to be at the end of time. That's what's going to be. I personally believe, I mean, this is a chassid's view of this, that this is all mamash what's happening. This is all mamash what's happening. Now, that from all different places that they're seeking out, it's beginning, seeking out the teachings of chassidus, and to be connected to the tzaddikim, the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov. V'im, he says, she'imotze zaken echad. And he says, if you find that there's an old man in those days, she'in anos upon him kol kach, that he doesn't, that maybe he himself is not so respectable looking. Ach mach neshistoyf efetzli. But because that old man had once been by me, or by my disciples, the noga b'minol hadela shali, and if he once that old man had touched my doorknob, of my room. Yoimrulo, they will say to him, Simla lecha, you have clothing. Kasinti elonu, help us. You were, in other words, Rabbi Abunim said that in those days, someone who's connected to my teachings, who once touched the doorknob of my room, that everybody's going to come after him and grab hold of him and say, you have the truth. You have it. Give us life. And he says, V'nakva chassidim shipolig limosu b'shneim, b'shineim. And the chassidim are going to tear this person's coat with their teeth. They're going to be grabbing at him. The Yerutsu Akhra Heisha says, even though the man does himself doesn't look like he's so kosher, but he once was touched the doorknob of my room. The Chedei Lishmom, they're going to tear each other's clothing, which, by the way, is what happens in Ger and Hayayim. That's why they have special bekishes for Sholashudas that are all torn up, that are all torn. It's true. And the first time that I was there was when I was in 12th grade. When I was in Ger, the first time, I went to the Bais Medrash, and the Bais Yisrael was alive. The Ger Rebbe, the Bais Yisrael was alive, the old Ger Rebbe. And I walked in Shul Shudas, and I walked out. It was like, you know, it's like in the cartoon when you go like into a war, like for a second, like this dust, and then you come out. It was unbelievable. First of all, even before I got into the crowd, when you get to the crowd, it's crazy. But when you get into, before I got in there, I was just walking in, and there was like some big chassid that was passing by, and I was just a kid. And I walked by, he gave me like a body block. He sent me flying against the wall, I didn't even know why. And I didn't understand until later, you know, people explained to me that there's some avoida, I'm not sure I understand exactly, but there's an avoida of some sort in that. I have a good friend of mine that's a very, very interesting, funny person. I once told this over Rob. So he's a guy that's, he's around this tall and around this wide. And he said that when he was a kid, he was roughed up there. But now he put on a couple of pounds over the years and he got big. And he went into Ger, into this Medrash, and he took a pin with him. And he said, the chassidim are going, he's giving a shtupping in the back. Shtupping. He says that, and they jump, but now one person said, what are you doing? They just move away. They let him go. That's the only way he got through. This is the thing. And the Rosh Hashiva, the Yeshiva looked at him and he says, you know, he's very proper. He looked at him and he says, Chayis! Right? Animals! And the Ger Rebbe says, Yah, of a Chayis HaKadosh. Chayis are also angels, right? He says, yeah, but they're holy angels. Chayis can mean animals and can mean angels. Right? So the Rebbe says, Chayis. Chayis HaKadosh. That's what it means. Chayis HaKadosh. So he said, that's what's going to happen in those days. That they're going to tear the coats to hear one of my Torahs. To come near someone that once heard my Torah. Bechdei, l'shmoy mimeno kedusha, yisod drosha, shi yisapr lehem, as divrei ha-Torah, sheshomem yipit, to say Torah that was heard from my mouth. Oz, he says, kol echad ve'echad yimtze me'advarim sheli, asheshomem haskenim ha-rishaynim, tikun le'tzarech nafsha. And Jews in those days will find, when they hear my Torah, they're going to find a tikkun. They're going to find a way back to their souls, to do tshuva, to return to me. And he said to this Rebbe Lozer, he said, hold on, tell the chassidim this story that I'm telling you now, what I just told you. Tell them. This should be like a precious jewel that they should hold on to. Yikar mikol avnei chayv, it's more precious than any other stone in the world. But the Rebbe Abunim says, I'm telling this to you now. And hold on. And he said he wrote this because the Rebbe, he felt, commanded him that this should be something that should be known till the end of time. That there's going to come a time when even though we're going to learn that in his lifetime he was the subject of terrible persecution, terrible suffering. We spoke at the end before the summer about the Yid HaKadosh, what he was put through. Ein Adayim. The Yid HaKadosh to a large extent was excused for his late zman, and we spoke about he davened late, different things. But we'll learn later on, maybe in 2 weeks, or maybe next week in 2 weeks, we'll see that perhaps the Rebbe Abunim could have gotten away with it, but the fact that he was of German descent which was not looked highly upon among the Hasidim, and also that he had those years when he was considered by them to be a modern businessman. So we're going to see that he suffered from terrible redifus, particularly from two tzaddikim, terrible redifus. In his day, that the Rebbe Rabbanim said such a thing, and it's really come to be true. And when we continue with Shem next week, we're going to begin to discuss his life. That's all that we don't, unfortunately, there are no longer any old Jews that are alive that saw the Rebbe Rabbanim. That's finished. There's no longer anybody alive that saw him. But, like we say by all the tzaddikim, that all what we have left, we don't even have a sefer because the Rebbe Rabbanim didn't write a sefer. But much of his teachings were transcribed, were kept by students, and we have, Baruch Hashem, a number of volumes, which we're going to learn some pieces from those volumes. But we have the stories and the Torahs, and that we hope that by telling the stories and that by learning the Torahs, that in this period of Din, it will bring Chesed, it will bring Rachamim, and that if the Rebbe Rabbanim promised that whoever will hear from the old man who touched my doorknob will be able to find a tikkun for himself in this world. So maybe if we hear the stories, somehow we're also listening to that old man, and that we're able to touch the doorknob of the Rebbe Rabbanim, so we too will be able to find the Mitzvah Shem, a tikkun for our nefashos. Shkoyach.